Well, what a big day we're having in our church today. This is a fabulous report from our kids, and I understand we're going to have some more talking about that tonight. And I just love it when people get touched. I just love it when they're around doing the things that they should be doing for God in the first place. You coordinate all of those things, and you impact lives. And unknown to many of you, today we've had a lot going on at the back here. Today is Promotion Sunday. We had all our kids just going all our different classes and all kinds of things. It is just an exciting day here at the church. I hope that when you came in, that not only did you get a bulletin, but if you look on the back of the bulletin, you'll see our vision statement for our church. Now, if you're new to us, or if you've never been here before, if you've only been a couple of weeks, I just want to let you know that what we're doing is we're communicating a couple of things. Number one, our vision statement, which is right here. It says, come as you are, love like family, and live the journey. And then on top of that, if you'll look under our walls, we're over here and to here. Today we're going over our fourth core value. And I want you to remind you what the core values are. And like I said, you're going to get tired of hearing of this. It's a little bit repetitive. But it's important that we remember why we're doing these. We call them core values because when you strip off all of the facade and you get really down to the bottom line, this is what we really, really believe. This is what we're really, really all about as a church. And as individuals, that's what we're structuring here. What we believe to the core of our being, it becomes our character, it becomes our conscience, it becomes the things that we think about day and night. The second thing is it's the foundation on which we build our beliefs. This church is built on a foundation. Before anything went up, we put a foundation down. And these core values are the foundation in which we decide what we're going to do, where we're going to spend our money, what kind of activities we're going to have, and those kinds of things. And the third thing is it's the standard by which our behavior is measured. We're going to say, this is the way you need it. Here's the lines are drawn, and we need to stay within this. And it helps us to stay on point. It helps us to stay focused. We know who we are, what we're supposed to be, and where we're supposed to go. You know, rules and guidelines and boundaries are pretty important. But they're also very, very helpful, and that's what we want to do with this. And today, we're going over our fourth core value. But before we do that, we're going to talk about families in just a little bit. And I've asked Liz Chandler if she would come up and share with you just a few minutes. It's really neat when God gives you a sense of family that's not just family. Now, listen, the Warrens are here today, and I know it's because Pauline passed away and everything. Come on up, Liz. Yeah. But listen. You know, we asked every now, we do a funeral dinner for these people, and we asked Gary, I said, Gary, you got to give us a little bit of a number. I mean, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken needs to know what to do, you know. So he said, hey, there's like 44 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I said, dear God, are you kidding me? That's family, but that's just the numbers underneath all of that. Stop and think about if you don't have a family. You saw what the kids were talking about. They had a bunch of children that showed up at this day camp. And you know what? If they do have family, they may have the titles, they may have a mom and dad, but it's probably not the family you and I know. It's really neat when God puts a family together. So I asked Liz to share with us a couple of few minutes her experience.
Hi. Can you hear me okay? I will try not to talk really fast because Pastor tells me all the time to slow down. So I just wanted to, when Pastor asked me originally at the beginning of the week.
I'm sorry. Can everybody do one thing for me? Will you just say, yay! Just say, you got to do your hands like, go, do your hands like, go, yay. I walk through the door, and then she goes, yay. I got to stub my toe. She goes, yay. I'm sorry. Okay.
I say yay every time I see anybody, not just you. When Pastor asked me to speak earlier this week, I said no. And as the week went on, I really started to feel very moved by God to remind everybody what it's like to be a new person in church. I was a new person in church. When David and I came here 14 years ago, Cole was barely 1 year old, and he's up here speaking all the time, which makes me feel brave because while I sit back there and get nervous, I see Cole just do it so effortlessly. But when we walked in, we didn't know anybody, and I had never really been to church. I went to a Methodist church a few times with my grandmother. And I don't know if you guys have been to a Methodist church. They're not as lively as ours. So when my first visit here, we sat in the back row, obviously, like many new people do. And we left that day. And I told David, wow, you know, I just felt like everybody in this church was happy and prosperous. And I just wanted to be a part of that. And when I say prosperous, I don't mean like everybody looked like they had a lot of money. I just felt like everybody was thriving. I think that's a better word than prosperous. There was a thriving church. Everybody felt alive in here and energetic and like they truly wanted to be here. And I was drawn to that. I really wanted to be here also. So after our first visit, we were at home and Jim and Diane Smith pulled up in our driveway with a mug with some candy in it. And they invited us back. They talked to us for a little bit, and I just felt like they really wanted us to come back. They weren't just obligated to be there to ask us to come back. They wanted us to be back. And I told David after they left, I was like, we're going back. We got to go back to that. And we did. And I have a little list because as I went through the week, just thinking about my journey that started 14 years ago, a lot of people were involved in how I became who I am today. There was a lot of me that had to leave to be the person that Liz is today. And, you know, I know some of you talk to me and you think I'm happy all the time. And I generally am very happy all the time. But in my head, I have battles just like everybody else does. And when I come to church, I leave those battles behind. And I'm renewed every time I'm here with the strength that God is with me. Because I see him working in your lives. I see him working in our kids' lives. And I know that this is the place where you get that energy. And when I first started, I couldn't wait for Sunday. I would go all week waiting for Sunday to get here so I could feel refreshed and renewed. But I had a little list that of just some people that I wanted to thank because it's important for you to know every single one of you helped me be me. As a new person, feel comfortable, but grow. And one of the things that really stopped me from coming to church in the very beginning was my clothes. Everybody's got a reason for not wanting to go to church, but for me it was I didn't have the right clothes for that. And so when I would walk into church, Lolita, I don't think she's here today, but Lolita would always tell me how nice I looked, and she still tells me. And it just cracks me up every single time. It makes me feel comfortable and like I belong here. So I wanted to thank Lolita. I didn't even know where Genesis was in the Bible. At the time when I started, I literally looked in the index to find where Genesis was when we were talking about it. And I think I hit David and I was like, you couldn't tell me it was on page one? You made me look in the index? And he did. But I began to watch VeggieTales at home with Cole. And Leland and Di, I think, were teaching the kids at that time. And you guys would send sheets home with him. And I would read those sheets and I would learn those stories. So if you work in the children's ministry and you don't think that those sheets that you're and those lessons and those songs that you're teaching those kids don't go home, you're wrong. I was the person that was at home reading those stories. I still have them, a lot of them, with Cole's scribbled crayon name on it in my Bible. And I look back at those. That impacted me. It helped me learn those stories. Everybody starts somewhere. And for me, that's where I started, with Cole. So thank you for being in children's ministry. You're not just teaching those little ones. You're teaching people like me. I didn't know the songs. So when I was invited to work in the sound booth, I had no idea what these songs were. I didn't know the words. And I had Pat Clark and Mike Sunday and Tia's dad. I don't know if Tia's here. Tia's dad and Mark Bacon. They didn't make fun of me while I was learning those songs. Well, Mark did, because there's one song that I always said sounded like string cheese when you sang it. I don't know. I kept looking for the words, and I thought it said string cheese. And I thought, God likes cheese like me. But they made me feel very comfortable in there while I learned, and they helped me learn those songs. So thank you. I mean, when you volunteer to be and a part of the ministry, the people that are already in that already know how to do that, are helping you along the way. They want you to learn and grow. And those guys, they helped me learn that. I didn't know any women, but Carolyn Osborne invited me to be at the women's ministry events. And I got to learn a lot of the women through Carolyn, who I so enjoy talking to still today. Carolyn, thank you for inviting me to be with other women and to get to know you and your family. I didn't know how to explain my desire to learn Proverbs 31. And I bugged a lot of people, but I found Shelley and Edie and Kathy Ellis. And they didn't just teach me about Proverbs 31. They showed me how to teach it as well. So thank you. when you ask others in this church questions about the Bible, be prepared to not just learn that answer, but to show other people what you learn. It's important that when you do learn something in church, that you take that knowledge out to other people. People want to know about the Bible, but they don't want to know it from somebody on TV. They want to know it from a real person who's experienced it and loved it as much as I do. I still love Proverbs 31. When I volunteered to help Sandy Sadaka with the Prinz class, I didn't know what a true prayer partner was, but Sandy Sadaka showed me how to do that. I wish she was here today. She's really showed me how to pray like nobody's business, and it's a value that I take very seriously. I didn't know how to work at a church, but Donna Weisbro gave me the opportunity to be the secretary. And when I wasn't sure that I was the right person for that job, I went to the ladies' prayer group on Tuesday. And Patsy Jones and Geraldine McKay and Sarah Akers, they not only prayed for me, but they anointed me. And it made me feel very much welcome that those ladies showed me how to do that. And today I'm still learning. John and Jen, they are showing me the book that the youth group is learning. And I ask them questions about that all the time. They still allow me to grow in that area. There's so many things to learn. And when I search for answers about healing, I find Jim and Jody Smith, and I bug them about it. And they are more than happy to share their information with me. I still need your sister's information. I'm saying it in front of everybody so you get that to me. Okay. When we came 14 years ago, we had no idea what we were getting involved with. We were visiting a church on a Sunday. I told David I didn't want my kids to be raised like I was. I wanted them to be secure and happy, and I wanted them to know who God was, and I didn't know who God was at that time. When I came 14 years ago, I was new like Josh, who I just met, and Minnie, if I get your name wrong, I apologize. I love meeting the new people that come into the church, Paula and your family. I see you guys every Sunday. I was you. I'm still you. I come in every Sunday with the wonder of what am I going to hear about today? What new miracle have I not discovered in the Bible? And when I look at our values, this last one, we devalue developing strong families. When I see Cole stand up here and share his heart like he does, and I see him grow like he is, I don't know if that would have been possible if we hadn't come in 14 years ago and met each and every one of you who helped us be the family that we are. But our family doesn't stop right here at this door. And we're not different at home than we are here. I met a lady just this past week and went into her business, was talking with her, told her who I was, and she was standing underneath a vent that was dripping, and I just moved toward her a little bit to move her out from underneath that. And she said, oh, are we going to pray? Are we going to pray now? And I said, well, sure, we could pray. And I prayed with her, but it just reminded me how hungry people are outside of this church. They're waiting for the invitation, and they're waiting for the prayer. And when they get here, it's unbelievable what they experience here. It's not just the great message and the great song. It's the great heart of each and every one of you. I just want to thank all of you very much. Thank you. So,
in case you don't know, that Liz is our administrative assistant in the office, so if you call needing anything, she is probably the one that's going to assist you, at least our first line of attack on something like that. I want you to understand that it is 20 till 12. There is no way you're going to make supper. Actually, I feel the squeeze, but the power of the Holy Spirit is mighty. But he's not that mighty. I'm just kidding. Hey, we are discovering our fourth core value. If you look over here, we value authentic and loving relationships. We value the lost, the hopeless, and the hurting. We value being a welcoming church in today. We value developing strong families. This is one of our core values. It'll be one of our core values, if you ask me, for the very reason that we had Liz come up and talk today. It's people touching people. It's becoming a family above and beyond the relationship you have that you were born into. Listen to the following description. We will invest strongly in our youth and children and in the health of marriages and family relationships. I just love the picture there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are spending a lot of money, but this church needed to be remodeled. It's 20 years old. There's a lot of things we're wanting to do out here, but this entire wing over here is being redesigned for our children so that when they come here on a Sunday morning, not only are they having a gifted teacher, but they're having an environment to where they want to learn more about God. And it's incredible that you've been behind that. It's fabulous. We want to put our support strongly investing. Sometimes that's dollars. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's going down on your knee just to get on a kid's level and talk to them. We're doing that with our youth. You've seen what John and Jen are doing. And listen, I know that they want to dodge the responsibility, but they're leading. But our kids are following. And pretty soon they're going to be the ones that are leading. And then he steps out of the role and just lets the kids do it themselves. And that's what they're doing there. Healthy marriages. Everybody wants a healthy marriage. And we want to create the opportunity, the environment. We want to create the foundation for healthy marriages and family relationships. And this is not an old concept. This is something that Paul thought of when he got a hold of Christ himself. He often talked about the context of the church and the believers as family members. His favorite description of believers was brothers or sisters. In the 13 books that he wrote in the New Testament alone, he uses the word brother over 60 times. He proclaimed loudly and clearly that the body of Christ, those of who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, had given their hearts to him, are the family of God. That's what he thinks that we are. Now, everybody needs a place to belong. Everybody deserves a place to belong, wouldn't you agree? Now, a place like that needs to fit like your favorite jeans. You got those favorite jeans? I mean, you don't wear them out a whole lot, but you know, this just your clothing, the stuff you just hang around in. Have you ever noticed that most of the time the thing that you like to wear the most, you wouldn't call dead at the front door with? There's no way you'd wear those things. If you knew somebody's coming, you'd change clothes. But they just fit. They're just so comfortable. I have had to rescue my clothes from the laundry and from the trash can way too many times. Because if Debbie had her way, they'd be gone. But I love those things. They got the holes. They're just right. You know, and that's what a welcoming church should be. That's what we talked about in being this kind of church. It's a part of our vision statement. Come as you are and love like family. The problem is that some of us haven't realized that we were made not to be unnoticed, not to be alone, but to be together. God has created this natural magnetism in the spirit and the body of Christ that draws us together. And it's difficult because we have to walk over personalities and stories and preferences and styles and a whole lot of things just like Liz was talking about. But it's possible that we could be this incredible family. Vance Packard said this, America is a nation of strangers. And study shows that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. Our American culture produces people more closely identified with the characters of a weekly TV series than with their next door neighbors. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, community, and a sense of family. We're all like that. Well, I heard the story of an old lady that she was a very familiar regular down at the post office, and she waited in line one morning just forever. Finally got up to the desk or to the counter, and the clerk was there. He knew her by name, and she said, you know, you don't have to stand in line to buy stamps. She only wanted two. And he said, there's a machine right over there. You can go over there, and you can buy stamps in books of 20s. She said, I know. She goes, but the machine never asked me about my arthritis. It's a cute little thought, isn't it? Didn't that give you a really cool picture? But people are starving to just not be known or noticed or recognized, put on a pedestal, to just be somebody that is a part of somebody else's life. You know what? There's a lot of definitions about family, but that's one of them. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors for this fellowship that we have and for the church, but the most persistent and the most consistent is family. Listen, maybe church and family is something you're used to. Maybe some of you were, maybe you weren't conceived in the church, but you were thought of in the church. Okay, you were there. That's all you've ever known. You know, your first trip outside of the house was to church or whatever. You know, there's some of you, you didn't know any of that stuff. You know, my story was like Liz. The only thing I knew about church was getting up and going with mom, having to go through this routine so we could be home. Liz has a different story. You have a different story. Right, wrong, or indifferent. God wants us to be a part of His family. Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Listen, belonging to a church family provides a lot of things, and one of those things is strength. It will cause you to be stronger as an individual, but it causes you to link arms with other people, and you become more than just yourself. The New Century Version of the Bible says two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Listen, none of us can do alone what all of us can do together. Tuesday at 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, this is just a great time for a commercial and another invitation. Tuesday at 9 o'clock, if you're old and retired, you don't know what else you're going to do, you know. If you can just step up on a couple of rungs on a ladder, man, we can get the sucker knocked out in no time. It'll take me all day and I'll be mad at you if you don't show up. You see, if we don't link together, we get mad for all. No, I'm just kidding. But we can do a whole lot in a small amount of time. Now, that's a physical thing. Think about the spiritual stuff. Think about the times that we pile in together and we begin to pray and we concert our efforts and God sees wonderful ministry happen. We will invest strongly in our youth and in our children and in the health of marriages and in family relationships. Because belonging to a church family also provides support. Man, this church and the church has helped you out. It is. Come to your rescue time and time again. Liz was able to put faces and names with this, but I'm going to tell you, there's times when the church just shows up to just bless you. The church got in a van, took off for Oklahoma City, spent all week down there so that they could hear the stories of a little girl who was going to save some of her lunch and go home for her little brother and sister who never get anything to eat. How powerful is that? The church showed up. And you know what? Those kids will remember them for a long time, but I wonder what that's going to be like in 10 years. I wonder what their 14 years are going to look like later on, just like Liz's. Solomon put it this way, two are better than one because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there is no one to help them up, it says in the NIV. Listen, we all have troubles, don't we? Everybody has troubles. Jesus told us we'd have troubles. In this world, you will have trouble. But he said this, take heart for I have overcome the world. Jesus, the head of the church, our family guide, if you will, is there to help us with this. Let me tell you another thing that happens if we become a part of the church family. It's a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual connection. Everybody's a part of a family. Whether you like it or not, you're a part of a family. You get there three ways. One is by blood. You were born into this family. Regardless of the dynamics or the definition or how good or bad or indifferent, you were born into that family. Another is relationship. When you decide you want to marry someone and become their husband or their wife, you get into that family. You may be the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law. We have these titles. But the most powerful part is when we become spiritually connected to our family. There's a bond there that's incredible because when it comes to family, we all have different ideas as to what family's all about. We have our experiences and we have our expressions, and some of them aren't good. There's a lot of people out there that don't know how to respect family and don't know how to do a lot of things because the only model they had isn't very much of a model. Maybe their mom and dad died when they were young. Maybe their mom and dad split up when they were young. Maybe their mom and dad were mean and indifferent. Maybe they were alcoholic. Maybe they were wonderful. Maybe they were loving. We get all of these mixes out here, so your expression, your experience is different than mine. But the cool thing is that God gives us a family dynamic that only He can produce. And it's only based on what he is and what he does. So we wanted to understand that as we start strongly developing families, that we're looking at a goal of the perfect God and not perfect people. None of us can say, follow me. I'm the best example of a husband. I'm the best example of a father. I'm the best example of a family. No, we all have flaws. We all have cracks. We all have future failures. We all have a lot of failures that have been covered by the blood, haven't we? But God himself is going to give us this incredible model that we can follow because everybody deserves to be a part of a family. Everybody deserves to have a good experience when it comes to family. Everybody deserves to have a great future if they're wanting to be in a family. Years ago, we had Kathy Keating. I was working with the youth in the national office down in Oklahoma City in our State Department. at big youth convention, we invited Kathy Keating, the wife of ex-Governor Keating, to come and speak. So she was speaking to our youth, and we wanted her to just kind of encourage them from that level of a position. And she told this story of this lady that was a teacher of the year in the state of Illinois. She taught in inner city Chicago. And she was a tenured teacher. She had been there a long time. She had put in her job, her dues, I should say. The principal came to her one day and said, "Hey, listen, we need help. We've got this one group of LD kids, learning disabilities. They're in this room, and we have put three teachers in there, and they've run them all off. You're our last hope. You've been here the longest. You have the most experience. I'm asking you to go into this classroom and change these kids' lives." And she said, "I don't want to go." And he said, "No, we're begging you. We're pleading you." So finally, she said, "Okay, I will give it a month." So she walks in there, and it was everything that you would think. You know, we're talking about welcome back Cotter to the 10th power. It was horrible. No respect, you know, stuff going on. So she tried to teach and tried to teach and tried to teach. And about 3 weeks later, she had had enough. So you know what she did? Against the rules and inappropriately, she went into the school office. She started looking up all these kids' files. And she started looking. She saw these IQ scores. 115, 120. Some of them were in the 130s. She got angry. These kids are smart. They're just acting dumb. So the next day she went in and she walked through the door and she said, "This is the last day." She said, "You are going to learn." And she started realizing that these kids could learn, and she started demanding that they learn. And before you know it, they straightened up. Before you know it, their score started going out of the roof. Before you know it, they became a model for the city of Chicago in this wonderful lady's teaching. And finally, the principal came and said, "How did you do this? This is incredible." And after quizzing her quite a bit, she said, "Well, I'll tell you what I did, because I know it was wrong and inappropriate." She said, "But I went in and I got their files. And I looked at them, and I was so angry because these kids had IQs off the chart, but they were just living so below their potential. And I just went in there and I just said, I care too much to let you fall on your face." And I started making demands. And the next thing you know, they started changing. He goes, "Show me those files." So he went and showed the files. And he started looking at it. He goes, "These aren't their IQ scores. These are their locker numbers." We had the same reaction. "You got to be kidding me." But how cool is it? This person, all of a sudden, even if under false pretense, said, "I care too much to let you destroy your life and have a future that has been paved out before you and been exampled by you by others." And she began to demand more of them, and they began to believe in themselves. And you know, all it took was somebody to care enough, demand more, and lead. And the next thing you know, boom. Could it be possible that Claremore Assembly of God, with the people that we can possibly be in touch, that God would give us influence and God would give us touch, that we can begin to care so much and demand more out of their lives and their family experiences that today we could lead them into a circumstance to where they start seeing themselves developing a strong family? Not just letting things glide, but they strongly invest in one another. I think that's possible. Listen. Someone has to care, someone has to demand, and someone has to be leading, and that's us. Great kids, great youth, healthy marriages, strong families, they don't just happen by accident. And everybody deserves that possibility, don't you agree? And it can be done. It can be done. We're not talking about pie in the sky. We're not talking about fiction here. We're talking about things that happen all the time. We will invest in strongly in our youth and our children. Healthy marriages and family relationships that hopefully would just become a vision for this community. Because we want them to come to this church just as they are. But we want them to love like family, God's family. And we want them to live the journey because there's a future out there that's much brighter than anything else. But most of all, we have to understand where are we at right now is where God wants to just get our attention. You know, maybe some of us are like those students. And we've given up on the pipe dream that our family could ever be that close. We've given up on the pipe dream that Jesus could ever be really what he's always said that he has been to others. Can he ever do that to me? Absolutely. Listen, God wants to do so much in our lives. You know where this starts? This doesn't start with a dad finally turning his life around and being the dad he's supposed to be and the mom following him and then the children understanding. No, it starts with a individual saying, God, I want the preferred future you died so that I could have. I don't want to wake up years from now wishing that I'd had anything more. But I also don't want to wake up wishing that all I had was everything less. God can do that in all of us. I believe with all of my heart. Will you bow your heads with me just for a second? Father, in just a moment we're going to leave. And in just a moment we'll be dismissed. But I just pray right now in the heart of everyone here that there's a hunger, there's a desire for that family dynamic, whether it's on an individual basis or whether it's collectively. I pray, God, that today we can become a part of your family by simply just surrendering our heart to you, asking you to come into our lives and forgive us of our sin. That, God, you can give us that support and that strength and that strong family dynamic that is a spiritual foundation. Has nothing to do with relationship or blood. It's just about because of who you are. God, I pray that for everyone. And as they're listening to me pray, Father, if that's the desire of their heart, I pray that they will pray something like this. Dear God, please right now come into my life. Be my heavenly Father. Be the family that I've always looked for. Give me a place where I belong. Come and do a work in my life. Redeem my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be my heavenly Father so that I might start a family that is designed on your definition and not what I've experienced. I don't want to be someone who is thinking that they could have been, but I want it to be that it is, and that's the way you can do it. So, Father, bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.